This episode of The Fetish Show is sponsored by Warren Lemma and features the trip that Princess Zoe and I took to Kansas City for an all-day rope bondage photo shoot. We talk with Shibari Master and multiple leather title holder David M., and as always present The Fetish Show news, and that's all coming up next.
The Fetish Show brings you the latest in alternative photography, modeling, art, and fetish lifestyle. Your host is renowned fetish photographer and BDSM mentor, Dirk Hooper. He is joined by professional dominatrix, Princess Zoe. And now, here's Dirk.
Welcome to The Fetish Show. My name is Dirk Hooper, and I'm joined, as always, by the delectable Princess Zoe. How you doing, Zoe?
I'm doing great, Mr. Hooper. How are you?
I am not Charlie Sheen.
Whatever that means.
But I am still winning.
Okay.
Boom. Winning.
What does that mean exactly?
Well, if you were into pop culture, you would know that.
I kind of am, but I guess I'm...
It's 2011.
Not 2008.
Check into it.
All right then, Mr. Hooper. Thank you so very fucking much.
They've had earthquakes in Japan. Maybe you've heard
just
of that.
Shut up. Oh my God. Whatever.
Sucker punches in the theaters.
Yeah, okay. So we have some good news for you guys. We have something to tell you about our last weekend.
All right, bring it.
We went to Kansas City.
We did go to Kansas City.
Yes, we did. And what
Kansas
an
City,
awesome fucking...
Here we come.
Kansas City, here I come.
That's right.
It was a great fucking weekend.
They got some Pretty Little Women there.
And I'm going to get me some.
That's right.
We had a great weekend. Oh, my fucking God, what a good weekend we had.
We had a great weekend, no doubt about it.
And we will give the tribute to this weekend to... The tribute goes to Mr.
Warren.
Warren, Mr. Warren. Thank you, Warren.
Thank you.
Yes, he did an awesome job. Thank you, Warren. He was our financial supporter.
Yes, he was. He's a fan of The Fetish Show. He's really more of a fan of Princess Zoe, to be quite honest. Let's be honest.
He's my fan.
Which is cool.
He drove us there. If I can drove us back from there.
Yes, he did.
He paid for
and
things.
And that's not a short trip either.
Fucking no. It's like a goddamn 5-fucking-hour trip through the desert.
5+. More like 6, really.
Through the desert and the wind and the rain. And it was snowing in Kansas City. Holy fucking shit.
It was snowing. And you know
what's
what?
Up with that shit?
If it was snowing, the plan probably would be to maybe bring a coat.
Did Dirk bring one?
I didn't so much bring a coat.
No, you brought some, like, fucking shorts.
I did bring a couple pairs of shorts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And some short-sleeve shirts.
Yes, he did. He was freezing his nuts off. Okay, let's just say that.
Now, I actually brought the shorts to just, you know, kick around in the hotel.
Which we didn't stay in a hotel. Actually, we stayed. Go ahead. Sorry.
I had jeans, but I did not have a jacket. I had a short sleeve. I had several short-sleeve shirts.
Guys, it was snowing. It was motherfucking snowing.
And it was colder than shit.
It's colder than a witch's tit.
And windy.
Yes.
And it was snowing.
And we stayed at a bed and breakfast that was great. The Overture. The
1812 Overture.
1812 Overture was really cool. Right by our event, by our venue. I shouldn't say event,
right
by our venue. Sir.
Well, let me say, we went to a place called Sir Richard's Dungeon, or Sir Richard's Place. I'm not sure what they call it there. Yeah. But in any case, it's a converted photo studio, and it's a dungeon.
It was awesome as fuck.
They've got tie points everywhere in this joint, and it is awesome. It's like the first floor looks like a great photo studio. Matter of fact, I'd love to have a photo studio that looked exactly like
this. I'd love for you to have that too.
Because, yeah, honestly, I mean, it's really set up to do that. I mean, you can shoot all over the place, which is exactly what we did.
Wait till you guys see some of the shoots that come out of this weekend.
Oh, we had just amazing,
holy fucking
amazing
God
shoots, really.
As Dirk calls it, a shootout. Holy shit.
Right. Well, let me take a step back. Shibari Master... And I'm going to call him Shibari Master. I don't know if I'm supposed to or not,
That's
but I'm sticking with it.
I think he doesn't mind.
So Shibari Master David M. and I have been working on kind of a long-term project, which is we're trying to build up a body of work of bondage photography and approach it from a different angle than maybe anyone else is doing. He is a rope bondage expert, and I am a fetish photography expert. And the idea is that we're trying to maybe approach this from, you know, with fresh eyes, maybe do it differently than other people.
They're
are doing
just some
it.
Kinky little fuckers. That's all it is to that. Okay, let's just admit it.
So in any case, we get together. We've done it about two or three times, and we try to, because he doesn't live around me and I don't live around him, we try to maximize our time.
Right.
The last time we got together, we shot for about 10 hours. And this time in Kansas City, we shot for about 9 hours. Right. We invite other bondage, rope bondage artists to participate. And we try to get together bondage models. And I bring fetish models.
Which was me. Thank you.
Right. And the concept is we just try to get as many sets done in a day as we can.
Well,
basically.
Who all was there this weekend? Let's give that list out.
Well, the rope bondage masters, as I mentioned before, was David M. and Manator.
Yes.
And the models were Frenchies, Miranda.
Miranda's fucking hot, y'all. Wait till y'all see our photos together.
She was a good find that I found through my model call. If you listen to the last episode,
yeah.
I asked for, you know, models to come to this thing, and 2 days before the event, she contacted
Damn,
me, and it's like,
hot,
hey, this girl's for real.
Babe.
So,
Gigi was there.
She came there, and Gigi, who I've worked with on you know, several occasions before, got some great photos with her, and she was there too.
And Elizabeth, who is apparently kind of running the place. Thank you, Elizabeth. She took care of us. She was spot on with everything. I mean, she like, can I bring you water? Can I like sweep the floor over here by you? She was just, man, she treated you like a rock star, as you said.
Yeah, she really did. Elizabeth and Michael were a hell of a lot of help. Michael helped me a lot around on the set, actually.
Yeah.
He moved some lights. He moved some of the backdrops and stuff that we had.
And he has great hair.
You know.
He has some fucking awesome hot hair. I
you
love
know,
that hair.
Just when things were in the way, he helped out a lot and help put up some backdrops and stuff, and I really appreciate that. Everyone was really great there.
And
I was
Warren
amazed.
Warren brought us like pizza, like $100 worth of pizza, like for three of them from Grinders or whatever.
Was that the name of the place?
Yeah, Grinders. Like, apparently,
everyone
they also
said
have
that
pizza.
That was the place that was, you know, to eat.
Yeah,
I didn't eat pizza.
It's kind of expensive, I think. But
and if you see how I, you know, I look like a guy who likes pizza. But
you
I didn't
do.
Eat pizza because I get into like a zone or something when I'm doing this photography.
You had like stars in your fucking eyes. You were like, move out of my way.
Oh yeah,
I'm in photograph mentality.
Nirvana. Yeah, I go nuts on these things.
You are.
And I mean, all I ate during the day, I ate one banana. That's what I ate during the day.
You are a banana.
Yes, I am a banana.
You're a monkey.
Check out my banana.
I would like to see a banana. I mean, you know, whatever.
So anyway. anyway, we want to thank all of the people that we just mentioned there because they really treated us exceptionally well.
Thank you.
We had a spectacular time in Kansas City. Probably looking at going back maybe soon, maybe really soon.
I'd love that. And anytime you guys know that we're going to be out someplace, please contact us. Come out and meet us. And thank you, Sub James. Little subby who showed up to meet Princess Zoe. I appreciate you, and I think it's great. So anytime that you know we're going to be someplace, contact us on FetLife or by email and let us know, and we'll put you to work doing something.
Yeah, I mean, since you mentioned that, I mean, we told everyone where we were going. I mean, if you are on our contact points, then you knew that we were out there. I mean, we both have a Twitter account. My Twitter account is Dirk Hooper.
Yeah.
At Dirk Hooper, that's Twitter, and Princess Zoe is the Princess at the Princess Zoe.
Yeah,
on Twitter, you're gonna know us there. I don't think we made the announcement necessarily on the Fetish Show, but in some of our other our other avenues, particularly on our FetLife accounts, what's your FetLife?
I don't know, the Princess Zoe.
Is it the Princess Zoe
or is it
Princess Zoe?
Well, I have two. So the Princess Zoe and Princess Zoe.
Oh Lord. Of course you have two.
Of course I do.
And I am the dream king.
You are the dream fucking king.
Yes, there's only one person that ever really got what I was referring to on that.
Yes, that's true. That was the, yes.
At the last show that we
she
were
did.
At. Yep, she
like
got that.
She called you out on that.
She's the only person that really got that.
I didn't
that's
get
okay.
it. I thought you were like the chamber pot man or something.
Exactly. You didn't get that
the
at
pot
all.
Man. So what else, where else are we going? Where else are we going to freeze?
Well,
it?
I mean, first off, we may be going back to Kansas City
yes.
fairly soon, doing some shooting.
I'd love that.
And I've been invited to something. I'm not making the announcement now, but it looks like I'm going to be going back to that particular place at some time, maybe several months from now.
He thinks he's going to have his own show.
Making a little bit
shit,
of an appearance there, but I'm not making
gonna have
that
the drink that Princess Zoe got a new drink coming up.
I'm not making that announcement. We're not making either one of those announcements. But we do have some stuff that is going to be coming up. And the first thing is Kinky Carnival, which is
yes.
June 3rd through the 5th in Wichita, Kansas. If you listened to our last episode, you heard about Kinky Carnival.
And how do you spell that, please?
Well, if you want to actually go to the website and see us, because we're already listed on there, and thank you for that. That's
yes,
that's excellent. If you want to go to the site, it's kinkycarnivalks.com. And carnival in this case is spelled with a K.
Yes.
Because they like the alliteration.
Yes. And I want you guys to go and sign up and come out there and see me. And if you do, you will get a special treat.
What kind of special treat?
I will show you my boobs. Exactly that.
Well, that is a special treat, but that's but it's not necessarily something that's unique.
Okay, I'll spank your ass. How about that?
I mean, everyone sees Princess Zoe's
boobs. Okay, I will spank you. I'll put up a spanking booth. Come out there and say Princess Zoe sent me.
Wow, you get a spanking from Princess Zoe.
I will spank your ass if
now
you come
unique.
All the way to Wichita.
I haven't seen you do that.
I will spank your ass next. How about that?
I might be into that.
You probably are. You weirdo.
So anyway, that's June 3rd through the 5th. We're going to be there. We're going to be broadcasting from that location. We're going to be doing interviews, and we want to meet you.
Yes, we do. Come on out and see us.
Come on out and see us.
And we're also going to be at, what's next after that?
Next after that is Twisted in Tulsa.
Yes, it is.
We broadcast from there last year. We have already been invited to return. So see?
Tracy's taking care of us on that.
We weren't so terrible last time that we got kicked out of there and never invited back.
No, they loved us, so.
That's right.
We'll be there again. So we're not up on their website yet. Their website's just static.
No
at the
one's
moment.
Up on their website.
But yeah. We will be soon.
You can register for the event yes. right now if you're interested. That's going to be September 16th through the 18th, 2011. Naturally, it's in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yes.
It would be strange if we called Twist in Tulsa and it was in like Des Moines.
But it's not.
It's not.
And we're secretly,
strangely enough.
It's in Tulsa.
It is actually in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
And we're secretly thinking about possibly going to DomCom out where at? Atlanta.
It's
no.
it's in Atlanta, Georgia. We have made absolutely no contact with them at
well,
all.
I'm just throwing that out there just in case somebody hears this and says,
if someone hears this and goes, hey, we'd like to have the fetish show
oh,
out there.
Oh, yeah. There you go. We're secretly
I just love the
that.
Idea of going to DomCon. I'd like to go to Fetish Con too.
Yeah.
By the way.
I would too.
And we can come see you too. If you're running an event, why don't you contact us?
Yes, you too, Bono. You if can... you hear of us and like to... Sorry.
So Bono's going to contact us.
You never fucking know. Okay. Anyway.
So anyway.
You're lost for words.
If you are, I'm just imagining Bono contacting us.
I think it'd be a good idea, Bono.
So anyway, if you are interested in having us come out and participate in your event, and by the way, I want to mention that before I say this, if you're interested in Twisted in Tulsa, go to twistedintulsa.com. All of these links will be on the site if
yes.
you can't listen to simple instructions that I'm giving you. But anyway, if you are interested in inviting us out to your event, then please contact me directly. That's dirk@thefetishshow.com. And we will hook you up with that. We want to come out to your event.
Yes. And don't forget Foot Night.
We dig it. Yeah, we have one more event.
We dig it.
And that
it.
Is Foot Night, which is April 20th
in
Dallas, Texas. And if you're interested in that, you can go to footnight.com. Why don't you tell us what Foot Night is, Princess
well,
Zoe?
Princess Zoe will be there as a foot model. These guys put on an event throughout the country. They have different venues that they... They have events at, and this is going to be in Dallas on the 20th, and I'll be there as a foot model. Come out and smell my feet. I'll give you a treat. And so anyway, I don't believe it's around $65. I may be wrong, but you can pay online. You come out, they have like, I don't know, football game happening. There's lots of foot models, gorgeous, hot babes out there besides just myself.
I've seen the lineup.
Yeah, you have. I know you were checking that out. So.
And they are hot.
It's on a Wednesday night.
There's no doubt about that.
I will be
I'd like to have
there.
A shootout there.
I bet you would. I might can hook that up for you if you're a good
wow.
boy.
Wow, wow.
So I'll try and do
I
my.
I dig that.
Diggity dig it.
Yeah.
All right.
Absolutely.
So. All right.
Well, before we wrap this up, I want one more time. I just want to say thanks again to Warren.
Thank you, Warren.
Who was not just a really cool guy that we got to hang out with last weekend, but also was exceptionally helpful in every way. You know, driving us, moving equipment. Just, I mean, I needed some batteries for a radio transmitter.
Pizza.
And yeah, I mean, he was just, and you know.
He bought you a shirt.
Was entertaining, yeah.
You bought me some beef jerky.
And I appreciate it. It's very cool. And also to all the people in Kansas City who made us feel so welcome. Thank you so much. I can't wait to come back to Kansas City.
Me either.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Oh, my God. It was awesome.
It was fucking blossom awesome.
Yeah, it was a blast.
Awesome blossom. I said blossom awesome. Never. Anyway. Yeah,
that's good stuff.
Yes.
So, yeah, if you're interested in that, hey, check out my site, darkhooper.com. I'm going to be placing some stuff on there, and I'll also be placing it on my FetLife account from the shoots that we did. I'm going to be working them over the next few weeks because I shot a lot.
The shoots are fucking the bomb, all of them.
No doubt about it.
All right. What's up?
That's it.
Okay.
What's up is that's it.
That's it.
And up next, we've got the Fetish Show News.
And now the Fetish Show News Desk.
All right, first up, in the Fetish Show News, an Illinois professor apologizes for sex toy demonstration. In Chicago, a Northwestern University professor apologized for letting a couple demonstrate the use of a sex toy after one of his classes, but he said he still sees absolutely no harm in what happened. Psychology professor J. Michael Bailey said he regrets hurting Northwestern's reputation and upsetting so many people in this particular manner. He says, I apologize. The incident took place February 21st. After a class on human sexuality, Bailey invited students to stay for a discussion of sexual fetishes. He repeatedly warned that it would be graphic. The discussion included a woman who stripped and allowed her partner to use a sex toy on her. Quote, during a time of financial crisis, war, and global warming, this story has been a top news story for more than 2 days, Bailey said. That this is so reveals a stark difference of opinion between people like me, who see absolutely no harm in what happened, and those who believe that it was profoundly wrong. Initially, Northwestern defended the demonstration. Then, President Morton Shapiro said he was troubled and disappointed by the incident and promised an investigation. An investigation.
Dun, dun, dun.
Many alumni and parents have also condemned it. Bailey said critics have not made a compelling case. He said he would give them an F if he were grading their arguments. Quote, offense and anger are not arguments, he wrote. But I remain open to hearing and reading good arguments. About 100 students attended the after-class optional seminar on fetishes.
Wow. Amazing. Ooh, I have several things to say about that.
All right, bring it.
Well, for one, let me say this. Totally not the venue. I think that in our colleges is totally not the venue for this. However, I do respect the college's supportiveness of their professor. Even though he may be right or wrong, I won't argue that. I'm not here to argue whether or not the professor was right or wrong because I wasn't there. And I do not just go by what the media gives me.
Right.
So I have to be there in person. So I do respect that they are kind of standing behind him there on that. So that I give them an A plus for.
Right.
However, just not the venue for a little strap-on play or whatever the fuck they were doing. A little toy.
Yeah, they don't really.
Little toyage there.
They don't really Yeah, they don't really specify exactly what happened there.
But this car, it's kind of hard to get away from that it was an after class event and optional. So that's kind of hard to deny.
Right.
So that's all I can say on that. What do you have to say, Mr. Trooper?
I don't know. I mean, on one hand, if I had a kid who was going to a university, I'd be like, you know, what the fuck am I paying for a kid to go see like a sex show?
Yeah, I should be going.
Or something. Yeah, I should be there. I should be involved in that. You know, I mean, you and I could just as easily be involved in like a seminar on, you know, fetishes or something at a university. But I don't know. Honestly, at a university, I'm not sure if the demonstration is necessary.
Exactly. And Buck Angel would be the one to talk to about this because he does give he lectures at Yale.
He does, but I guarantee you that what he did at Yale, or was it Yale, Harvard? I don't know.
It was Yale.
Okay.
Well, as far as I remember.
Okay. What he does there was definitely not the same thing that he did at the Fetish Ball in Dallas.
I guarantee that's right.
Yeah. I mean, it's just it's a different venue for it. I think that if it's intellectual discourse that you're into, that maybe the live demonstration is not necessary.
Again,
I wasn't there, so I don't know. And you know, I mean, if you've been listening to this, you know that how open-minded I am about stuff. I've been to college. I know that routine.
Your mama goes to college.
Maybe he went over the line here. I don't know.
Well, yeah.
Then again,
but
students are supposed
class.
To be. It wasn't a mandatory class. And, you know.
What can you say?
Students shouldn't be. I think they should be, I don't know, exposed to things that maybe they wouldn't be exposed to in the normal world. I'm not sure if a sex show is exactly the exposure that I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's not the venue.
I really think that maybe he went over the line.
It's kind of not the venue.
Even I think he may have went over the line.
It's kind of not the venue.
Yeah.
So.
You know, maybe they could have taken those students to a club someplace.
Strip club.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what the answer is here.
I
also agree with the professor, though, that, you know, just being angry about it is really not an argument.
I do, too. And it's not. It's not. You need more substance than that.
Right.
I agree.
Yeah. All right. Well, our next story is naturally, it had to happen. It's about Charlie Sheen. Charlie Sheen is taking a break from 2.5 Men, but you may have just been able to see him on TV on another channel. But it might have just been scrambled. Sheen, who was hospitalized after a night of partying with porn stars, prostitutes, and cocaine.
Woohoo!
And is now headed to rehab, though that may come. Anyway, this is written terrible. Allegedly wanted to create a porn family, and now we know why. Turns out he wanted them to star in his latest productions if his madam. Charlie Sheen's madam, is to be believed. Sheen's madam, who goes by the name of Felony, told Radar Online that he was planning out an entire porn franchise to be titled Charlie's Devils.
Oh, I want to be in that.
Quote, of course you do. Quote, Charlie and I were having this great project.
And I want to be his mistress in that. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, you may get your chance here. The reason why I'm bringing this up is coming. As he was talking about performing in front of the camera, Felony said, he even made a demo. Quote, Charlie's got the tape. I gave it to him afterwards, the madam said. He was keeping it so he could practice. If it does air, it could be pretty explosive. Quote, the ladies love Charlie. He likes to explore his sexuality. He likes fetish, spanking, role play, really kinky stuff, she added.
I think I should be his mistress.
So there you go.
Come on, Charlie, get in touch with me, baby.
You may be in on this.
I should be.
You could be one of Charlie's devils.
No, I just want to be his mistress. I don't want to be a devil. That sounds like a submissive or something. I'm not sub.
Ah, very interesting. But anyway, yeah, I think it's pretty interesting that you know, this guy pushes it to the limits on everything.
Okay, well, I don't necessarily hate him.
Oh, I don't either.
I'm not a hater.
I mean, Charlie Sheen is about 100 times more entertaining off of Two and a Half Men than he is on 2.5. Have you ever watched 2.5 Men?
Yes, I did. I like 2.5 Men.
It's mildly amusing. But if you've watched his webinars or whatever, where he gets on there and rants about shit, it's entertaining.
Cool.
It's entertainment, baby. And whatever he's talking about, if he's going to make some sex tapes, I'm into that too.
Me too.
Bring it. Bring
I want to be there.
Charlie.
Charlie, bring it. Get in with touch
your,
with me, baby.
With your tiger blood. And you're winning.
Whenever
As
that
I said
means.
Earlier. Yeah, I know. Wow. So anyway, our next story is Rihanna's video and David LaChapelle.
I fucking love Rihanna's video.
It's not unusual for one artist to seek inspiration from another in their work, but Rihanna's latest music video is so similar to that of famed photographer that she has been accused of plagiarism. Many of the key scenes in the 22-year-old's recently released S&M video correspond with photographs by David LaChapelle. One scene shows Rihanna walking a gossip blogger on a leash while dressed in an outfit. It corresponds with a 2002 LaChapelle image for Vogue Aristocrats, which shows a similar scene. The similarities were spotted by fans of the photographer, who flooded his fan pages on Facebook and Twitter with comments. A source at his studio told celebrity blog Radar that initially fans thought LaChapelle had directed the video. Interns told us that fans were buzzing about the video and wanted to know if David had directed it, the source said. Then the phone in the office started ringing off the hook. Everyone was like, wow, it's amazing. It's the exact same. Other images allegedly copied in the Rihanna video include a striped room with girls wearing red Afro wigs dancing on the furniture. The Chappelle version striped farce is again remarkably similar. Yet another shows Lady Gaga naked. But for newsprint covering her private areas, Rihanna wears a similar outfit in her video. The singer's video was shot by Melina Matsoukas, who also directed her track Rude Boy. A source told Radar that he left photos of a LaChapelle's Vogue shoots lying around the set for inspiration. One person to criticize the similarities was Perez himself, despite appearing in a scene. He tweeted, quote, "The next time you make a David LaChapelle music video, you should probably hire David LaChapelle." LaChapelle, 47, received his big break while working at Studio 54 when he was talent spotted by Andy Warhol.
I love the video.
I do too.
Love it.
I do too. And it's indicative of the way that the fetish and kink community is invading the mainstream through Rihanna, Lady Gaga, and several others that we've mentioned. You know, Madonna, she's the one really who started all that.
My best friend Stephanie H, she like contacts me the other day. She says, "I just love this video. It reminds me so much of you, Zoe." So I fucking love the video. Sorry there's any controversy over it. Wherever she got the inspiration, I hope that she'll give credit for. However, I love, fucking love the video.
Well, let me say that I do love Rihanna in general.
I do too.
I think she's awesome when she's not hanging around with Chris Brown. And I also
You're just
will
jealous,
say
that's all.
I am jealous.
You want her all to yourself.
I do want Rihanna all to myself.
Me
I want
too.
All of that. In addition to that, I've been a longtime fan of David LaChapelle, and I don't know if you're familiar with him, but me being a fetish photographer, that guy's really at the top of the game.
Yes.
He does a lot of really amazing, bright, fun fetish photos.
And
it's
what,
very unusual.
And what was my comment, though, about the video is that it wasn't black leather. It was all...
It's
orange,
all very colorful.
All
it's very bright.
Yellow, all it, yes.
Yes, it's like festive fetish.
Yes, festive fetish. Fucking festive. Good coin phrase there.
Right.
Festive fetish.
Thank you. You heard it here first.
Yes, festive fetish.
You know, hey, listen. If you haven't seen David LaChapelle's work, go out and look for it because it's really good stuff.
Yeah.
I have a couple of his books myself. He's excellent. With that said, hiring David LaChapelle for your video is probably pretty expensive. It probably adds quite a premium onto something where you just want to make a splash with your video.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that goes on that has appropriation in it. There's a very fine line between appropriation and stealing
ideas. I think she's trying to steal, however. Whatever,
I think in this case, maybe she's trying to steal.
Whatever she's trying to do, she's still hot. It's a hot video.
She may not be aware of, honestly,
but listen,
how much it
has,
was
she has producers.
Stolen,
she has directors. She has other people to tell her, to warn her, to guide her. So
They should know better than this.
So it's not just her in particular. Let's talk about everybody if we're going to talk about it at all. So
right.
It's not just Rihanna.
Let's be honest.
She has a whole crew behind her.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know if she's the one who's making the final decisions on these things.
I doubt that she is.
But she also may not be aware of how similar it was to David LaChapelle.
No,
someone was.
She probably steps on set, and this is how it goes.
Someone was aware of how, how similar it was.
Well.
And they should know better. Shame on you.
Well, you know what? They probably do know better, and they know a good thing when they see it.
Very true.
So, anyway.
All right. The last time we got together in episode 12, this is lucky episode 13. In episode 12, we talked about some household items to use for BDSM play, right?
Did we mention cucumbers in that? Because I don't think we did.
Well, we didn't. And strangely enough, I'm going to mention in this article.
Woohoo!
There was an article that was put out. Oh my gosh, I'm already passed by it. I'm going to try to get this information. Here we go. It's top 10 household items used as masturbatory aids. Dig that. It's from creativeloafing.com. And I could
creative what? Say that again.
Creative loafing.
Loafing.
And I'm just going to run through the 10 here pretty quick. Number one, bath faucet or removable shower head.
Dirk is like a single man, so this is very important to him.
You're
okay?
Damn right. Are you kidding me?
Masturbatory items are
this
great.
Is awesome. That's number one. Pool or hot tub jets.
I can second that emotion.
See? The cucumber, which you just mentioned.
Yeah.
Let's see. What
a little gun oil, a little cucumber action there.
Are you ready for this one?
I'm ready.
Are you sitting down?
I'm sitting down right here.
Please, if you're driving, pull over to the side of the road. Masturbatory object number, what is that,
three?
Stuffed animals or particularly Tickle Me Elmo.
What?
This one will offend many parents who don't want to imagine their prepubescent daughters as curious sexual creatures. As a child, my wife regularly masturbated. This is written by someone else. As a child, my wife regularly masturbated by rubbing her stuffed animals between her legs. It was only later that she realized why this activity repeatedly got her in time out. Then there are cases where young women who want to experiment with a vibrating stimulus find a new use for their old Tickle Me Elmo doll. Like it or not, Tickle Me Elmo introduced a whole generation of girls to the pleasure of battery-powered vibrations.
There you go, Elmo.
Okay, I'm going to massacre this name. Bowding balls? Bowding balls?
I don't know, honey.
These chiming balls are intended to be rotated in the hand to improve manual dexterity and strength. They also promote relaxation as the motion mimics the comforting movement of rolling your testicles in your hands.
I love doing that.
While men use these balls to relax and improve their masturbatory grip, how many times can I work in the word masturbatory?
Masturbatory is a great word now.
Women often substitute these weighted chimes as Benoit balls after reading about the importance of Kegel exercises in the latest issue of Cosmo. They insert these balls like coins in a pinball machine, then clench their muscles to keep them from falling out.
Wow.
Wow. The next item is the electric toothbrush.
You have a new toothbrush.
I do, and they specifically mention the one I have. Sadly, Kinsey, from the Kinsey Institute, wasn't alive to witness the sonic care revolution and to modify his fetish with a vibrating toothbrush. It takes little imagination to picture an electric toothbrush as a potential dildo. All that is needed is the removal of the bristle extension, and you have a high-powered vibrator which can be left charging inconspicuously on your sink counter.
Wow.
I will say that's an exceptionally expensive
vibrator. You've been trying to talk me into going out and getting this Sonicare toothbrush.
Now are you interested?
I'm so interested now.
Let me tell you, this has absolutely nothing to do with fetish whatsoever. Those Sonic, and I'm not being paid for this, those Sonic Care toothbrushes are spectacular.
Daddy bought him one.
My dad talked to me on the phone, and he's like, look, if you will use this toothbrush, I will buy you one of these damn things. And I'm like, okay,
dude,
fine.
Your teeth are so white and bright and awesomely cool.
Oh, thank you for saying that. He said, yeah, I know you like to take care of your teeth and stuff. You need to try one of these things. And I love it. Oh, my God. It's amazing. It's like going to the dentist every time I brush my teeth.
Your teeth are so white. They're dirt. They're blinding me.
Our next item is an exfoliation machine. This handheld device is new to beauty care, but I have no doubt that it will soon become a secret masturbatory aid for covert diddlers.
Diddler? A diddler?
The waterproof...
What the fuck? The diddler? Whatever.
I like that word.
Diddler.
The waterproof design makes it ideal for use in the shower when you're already naked and enjoying some relaxing privacy. What do you think? The exfoliation machine.
I don't know. I have to see about that. And I don't know if I want my private parts exfoliated. I don't know if my
pussy needs exfoliating. Some people might.
I don't know if anything down there needs like exfoliating. Maybe your dick needs exfoliating. I don't know. I just don't think my pussy does.
How about the vacuum extension?
Holy shit.
On your vacuum.
I was just watching today on sexyandshocking.com. Like, this fucking chick, like, with the vacuum cleaner. You know, he's like sucking her clit there. I was like, wow.
That's what I'm talking about.
I just don't. Mine doesn't do that.
Using the old shop vac on there. Sounds intense.
Yeah.
Sounds intense. I don't know if I need that much.
Suction.
Stimulation. So the next thing is a personal massager. I think that pretty much, I mean, that's kind of the given. The granddaddy of that is the, oh my gosh, what is that? That crazy massager that, oh, it's a Japanese, it's a Hitachi wand. That's the Hitachi magic wand.
Like everyone has that.
That's like the given.
That's like the
Rolls Royce.
Like the main staple of
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And all you can say is, look, I got back problems, man. Get off of me. What?
Get off my back.
Yeah.
It's my back, man.
I got back problems. That's what
right.
I've got this thing for.
I need a Hitachi for my back.
Yeah.
What the fuck's wrong with you?
Exactly.
You nasty-minded person, you.
I got a 20-foot power cord attached to it, but it's for my back.
Even though I have this belt, you know, fucking... forced orgasm belt, but that's okay.
Anyway.
I guess you don't know what that is, but... Just for you who
I don't know. I have no idea what you're talking about.
The forced orgasm, whatever. It holds the Hitachi in place.
Oh, okay. Right. Good.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Neat.
Yeah.
So the final thing is, of course, lotion, baby oil, Vaseline, conditioner, olive oil, or whatever in the hell it is that's slickery.
Slickery. But not icy hot. Don't fucking use that. Don't put icy hot on your fucking penis, okay?
Unless
you never heard Richard Pryor, do not fucking put that. No damn fucking Old Spice or icy hot
unless
on your dick.
Unless you're into that. You know, you being a professional dominatrix, I would think that you were into putting icy hot on your
No, negative.
Schween.
That's ginger root. You're talking about ginger root.
No, I'm talking about icy hot. It goes on icy and then it gets hot.
Yeah, well, no.
You should try that out on one of your subs that likes pain.
No, just... Shove a sound down his dick. Be all right.
Well, you can do that too. All right. So that is the top 10 items used for masturbation.
Masturbatory item.
Yeah. Masturbatory gasms.
Gasms.
So,
what are you saying?
So our final story for today is a firefighter is fired after allegations of sexual assault. In Longmont, Colorado, the Mountain View Fire Protection District has fired firefighter and department spokesman Jesse Hodgson, according to the Longmont Times Call. Hodgson, that's difficult to say, Hodgson, was arrested on suspicion of sexual assault and indecent exposure in December. Indecent? Exposure in December. However, the allegations date back to May 2010.
Damn.
The newspaper said that he is accused of sexually assaulting an intoxicated woman related to him after a Memorial Day party while he wore an adult-sized diaper as part of a sexual fetish and twice punished an elementary school-aged child by diapering her.
Interesting. I meant in a bad way.
He appeared in court Thursday for a disposition hearing, but did not enter a plea. He's expected back in court in March. Diaper fetish.
Well,
none of that is consensual.
If it passes through as non-consensual, no longer a fetish, fucking criminal behavior. So I'm not judging the guy. I don't know. Cannot go by what the media says. Just saying, if in fact it is truth, not for it. Totally against it.
You might want to seek out a local professional dominatrix to pursue these things in a safe, consensual environment.
Yes, I'll diaper your ass and take care of you as mommy would. So.
Exactly. Finally, I have only one upcoming event for this deal. And I have this holds a special place in my heart, so I had to mention it. Fetish Project 5th birthday event is April 2nd. It's coming up very quickly.
Yes, I know. This is your favorite.
In Brussels, Belgium.
Why is it your favorite?
It's there. Well, I'll tell you about it here in a minute. It's the 24th event that they've held. It features the art of Phoebus and David Dukerton. It has a strict dress code, and they do mean this. Leather, latex, vinyl, uniform, metal, and other deviant look. If you're interested in this, and you should be interested in this, it is. You can find out more about it, and you can see some really cool pictures at www.fetish-project.be.
I'm just glad you didn't say Phoebus and Futhead. So
that's a different thing entirely.
And you went there. Actually, you were there in
Fetish
Belgium.
Project.
Yeah.
Holds a special place in my heart because that was where I had my own show.
Yes, you did.
In Brussels, Belgium, many, many years ago, about 2 or 3 years
ago.
And
you would think that you'd had Belgian waffles there, but you didn't.
I didn't. Yeah. I had a wad of bacon, though. It's a whole different story.
We heard about that this weekend.
Yes, you did.
At the bed and breakfast.
It's
at
one of
breakfast.
My favorite. Oh, my God. Are you we really going to get into that?
Yeah, you were telling us a story. The
okay,
fucking
wait a minute. Let me,
Belgian
let me
waffle
get the stuff
place.
Out about Fetish
okay,
Project
okay,
first.
Okay, go ahead.
First off, I went to Fetish Project as an artist displaying stuff, just like these other two are going to be there for this deal. They have it on a boat because basically while you're on a boat, you can do anything you want. It's like
it's
the
true.
Law of the sea.
It is. If right? you're 10 miles offshore of any
so
coast.
It's like about a 4-story boat, huge, and it's kind of like anything goes. It is, I mean, I say that it's a strict dress code because they're serious about it. Everyone who's walking around there is in a latex outfit or leather outfit
or
nude, completely nude. And let me tell you something. I've been to a lot of different events all around the United States and around the world. These Belgians, along with the people from the Netherlands and from France and England, who were there for in Germany, who were there for this event, these motherfuckers know how to party. You may think that you know how to party. You may think, hey, I've got a pretty good idea how to party. You have not been to Fetish Project.
I haven't been. I want to go.
Because
God
I'm telling
it.
You right now.
Because I'm going.
You see these films, you know, like Eyes Wide Shut and all this bullshit. This was the real deal. People having sexual relations. Like our President Bill Clinton on the dance floor.
President Bill Clinton was there?
People get... I'm sure he was. I'm sure he was. He could have been in one of those GIMP masks.
He
I'm
probably was. You. Yeah, he's
I'm telling
like,
you.
Nasty like that.
he's into that. There weren't... he's... Well, anyway.
Anyway.
So there's, you know, there's bondage going on, you know, demonstrations and also just people getting flogged
Beyond
and stuff.
Dark party. We're talking about
way beyond dark party. Literally
dark.
Anything goes. It starts at about 8 o'clock at night. It does not end until about 2 hours after the sun comes up.
And if you don't know what a dark party is, that means insertion sex.
It means anything goes.
It means you can stick it in
anything
there,
baby. Goes. But here's the thing. This is not just your, let's say, your average run-of-the-mill fetish crowd. This is really deep, serious fetish people who are outrageously hot.
I'm going.
Fetish mod, I mean, stacked. And God bless it. There was a French guy there who became my best buddy. His name was Bosque.
That's what your twin, right?
No. That's a different guy entirely. There was a mistress there who had a slave, and that guy was my French twin. that dude looked, I mean, people were commenting on how much we looked like each other and stuff, who was actually, he was like a gourmet chef and stuff, and they invited me up to their place, and I didn't get to go, and I'm really mad about that, actually.
Well, you need to go back and do it again.
I do. I really
do. Let's go back. Let's go together.
They treated me so well there, but let me tell you something. Seriously, that Bosque guy would grab every fetish model in the joint and bring them right over to me. I couldn't speak French for shit.
Could you say menage a trois?
Yeah, well, I could have said, I'm not going to be able to say it now. Voulez-vous coucher avec moi ce soir? I could have said that. But, so yeah, I just whipped some French on
which
you.
Which means
you think about
like,
that? Would you like to sleep with me tonight?
And my friend.
So see, I did know that. Right. Menage a trois with my friend. So I knew what friend. I needed to know there. But yeah, he brought every fetish model over to me, and it's like, hey, this is Dirk Hooper. He's a big fetish. You know, I had an art show there, so
yeah,
it was easy for,
I know you did.
For him to you know, introduce me to stuff. But anyway, it was a fantastic evening. And if you're in Europe or you're anywhere near Europe, even if you can't make this one, I'm telling you right
make
now,
make the next one because we'll be there.
Go to the website, which is fetish-project.be, which is like Belgium. And go to one of these events because it will be the night of your life.
Now tell us about the bacon. Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, Am I really telling the
story? Yeah, because we were at a bed and breakfast in Kansas City with Warren. Here we are eating breakfast. And you're like, oh, well, let me tell you about the breakfast I had, the American breakfast I had.
Right.
In fucking Belgium. We're like, oh, you had Belgian waffles. Oh, no, I had fucking water bacon.
When I went to Belgium, I couldn't sleep on the way over there. Like, you leave at night and you get to Belgium first thing in the morning. So
it's
if you don't sleep,
gate line there.
Yeah. So if you don't sleep on the trip over, you're fucked because, you know, it's a whole new day. And the second I got over there, everyone was ready to take me downtown and, you know, show me the sights and hang out with me and eat and stuff. And I'm telling you, seriously, they were fantastic people.
Get to the water bacon.
By the time that I got home, I was exhausted, and I knew that I had to, you know, really have my act together, because that next day I had to hang all of my photos and get ready for the big, you know, the big party. That's why I was down there. So I stayed at the Sheraton out there.
Which we love the Sheraton.
Which is
that's
the
like
best
now
place
the
to stay, I'm telling you right now.
Show hotels like the now the Sheraton.
And they asked me if I wanted to upgrade, and upgrade included breakfast. So I said, yeah, definitely, because I didn't want to roam around, you know, Brussels trying to figure out, you know, Lord only knows what the hell they eat for breakfast in Brussels.
Probably waffles.
They probably do eat Belgian waffles somewhere. But I didn't want to find Belgian waffles. I just wanted to sit in my room and have them deliver
them
that shit.
Deliver waffles.
So what I ordered for the next morning, because you can do it the night before, I ordered the American breakfast. And on the American breakfast, I had eggs, a wad of bacon, not just bacon, not a couple of slices. It was a fucking wad of bacon.
Like a baseball size wad?
It was like more like a softball size of...
Was it crispy, crunchy?
It was not crispy. It was soft. It was a
gooey
wad of bacon. It was fantastic. And I also had like milk and coffee and orange juice, oatmeal, muffins and croissants.
Croissants.
Oui. And also, I did not have...
I'm sorry, that was funny.
I did not have Belgian waffles. Everyone thinks that I have Belgian waffles. What I had was Belgian pancakes. And those things were huge. They were huge and thick and fantastic.
In case you guys don't know, Dirk is quite a connoisseur of Mil X, which is like breakfast at motherfucking 2 a.m.
I love breakfast. Breakfast is... I could.
But he doesn't eat it for breakfast time. He fucking eats it at like 2 a.m. for Zoe's time.
Right. I love
if you've
breakfast.
Never been for breakfast with Zoe, it starts at 2:30 a.m. Doesn't fucking start at like, you know, 9. It's like 2:30 a.m.
Definitely.
Breakfast starts.
Yeah, definitely.
Anyway.
So, yeah, anyway. Yeah, that's my big American breakfast from Brussels, which was fantastic.
Awesome.
Yes, that I had when I went over and experienced really the night of my life at Fetish Project. Yeah, on the party boat.
Woohoo.
It's good stuff. All right, so that's our event area. And up next, we have an interview with Shibari Master David M.
The Fetish Show feature presentation.
All right, this is Dirk, and I'm with Zoe, and we're in Kansas City.
Of all places.
Of all places, and we're on a bed with Shibari Master David M.
And why are we on a bed with David M?
I have no idea. It's just the way we do it.
That's what we roll these days. We're at a bed and breakfast. This is where we stayed near their dungeon facility.
Right.
We were down here to take photos of his great and awesome work, which we weren't. You were. I just came along for the ride. And so anyway, go ahead.
Well, anyway, welcome to the Fetish Show.
Well, thank you.
Now, I call you Shibari Master. Is that correct, or I'm not always sure?
Well, no, I'm not really a Shibari Master. I'll let the people who want to call themselves Shibari Masters be Shibari Masters. I'm just some short, kinky guy who likes to tie, you know, hot girls up.
Yeah. How long have you been doing that? You've been doing Shibari work for how long?
I would say what would be recognized as Shibari or Kenbaku since 2009. I've been tying since 1998. I've been tying decently since 2007.
right. We, you know, in the spirit of full disclosure, we met several years ago, like maybe, what was it, 5-6 years ago or something?
Yeah, it was about that.
Met at the Copa.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
Hung out there a little bit, and
I
we both
y'all
had.
Were gay. I knew it.
We both had. We both had, you know, kind of stars in our eyes, and we had a lot of ideas about things we wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, things began to happen for both of us since then.
Yeah.
I didn't have enough models to bring to the table.
Me neither.
And, you know, it was. It's amazing what's happened to the both of us since that first meeting, I think.
Well, I had won a leather title before then.
Tell me about that.
I was the first heterosexual to compete at International Mr. Leather.
International Mr. Leather?
Yeah.
Where was that?
That was in Chicago, Illinois, and that was in 2000, in 1999.
Right.
I had won Oklahoma Mr. Leather.
Cool.
And so I was the first heterosexual man to do that. And interestingly enough, they had more problems with me being straight than me being black.
Is that right?
Yeah. It's like, oh my God, he's straight.
Wow.
But I was also the first black guy, too, in Oklahoma.
Very cool.
And the only black guy who's won that title.
Yeah.
And then after we met at the Copa,
right,
I went on and I won a regional leather title and an international leather title.
Wow.
And so I was traveling around. And, you know, instead of being politically, you know how people want to go, yes, let's talk about politics. I said, well, I'm going to talk about sex and actually do it. And so basically, I ran around the country being a hoe.
Right.
But it was okay.
So what's different as from now? Because I travel around the country and...
Yeah, but I'm actually in an exclusive relationship.
Oh,
so you,
okay.
You hung up your hoe britches.
Yes, I hung up my hoe britches. And so yeah, me and Gigi go around the country and present. I'm also married.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
I've been married for 12 years.
Wow.
And so, yeah, I'm committed to those two women,
sure,
and my wife and my submissive, my wife of 12 years and my submissive of a year and a half, and so my submissive, we go around and travel.
Right.
And so
now you say you present. What exactly do you do when you do that?
Well, I actually present on a number of topics, but I specialize in rope.
Right.
And
so you do like a demonstration, basically, of your work, or
it's a variety. I can present, lecture, do workshops. It's whatever's in demand.
Right.
For example, I'm presenting at ShibariCon, and I'm doing two hands-on classes, and I'm doing one class that's a demo and a discussion.
Wow, cool.
So
tell me where you got your education.
The most recent education that I received was in Japan, and I studied under Osada Steve, and over 40 hours of instruction in 2009 and 2010.
Wow. Yeah.
And so basically he put me through my tasks or my paces, and Did a lot of tying and then a lot of advanced tying. And then after that, we went to fetish clubs where I perform.
Cool.
And then after that... This is in Japan.
Yeah.
Yes. And then after that, we do what we call the pancake discussions. And so I would talk to him for about 2 or 3 hours after the performances. So we'd actually spend between 8 to 12 hours a day.
Wow.
So he was really generous with his time and his information. And yeah. So one of the things that I did not see happening in the Midwest was that a lot of that information was not being funneled. It was in the West Coast, of course, in the East Coast, but
yeah.
There was nothing happening here. And I was like, well, you know, I really would like to see that happen in the Midwest. And so.
So you facilitate that then?
No. As much as I can, yes.
Yeah, I mean, you've become a teacher.
As much, yes. And we started three groups, one in Oklahoma City,
right.
One in Tulsa, and one in Kansas. Actually, we have one in Baton Rouge. I just
really? Came
from Baton Rouge, and I taught some classes out there.
Yeah, I saw you were heading for that. That's interesting.
Yeah, and so we have four groups that basically support each other, and everybody come around and they teach classes for each other, and you know.
Well, how do you get involved in this? Say you want to learn how to tie somebody up. What's the first thing you do? Besides get some rope.
Besides
and a person.
Well, just come and hang out. It's you know, it doesn't cost anything or anything like that. And so usually, you know, we'll come tie. I'll tie like once a weekend, and just do stuff. And then we'll have formal classes, you know, once every other month or so. That's it.
So what are the names of the groups? Just so if someone's looking
okay.
for
them. Kimbaku, Kansas City. And Kimbaku is pretty, it's actually the I don't want to say accurate, but no. It's the term that's being used more often now.
Okay.
Instead of Shibari.
Instead of Shibari.
Yeah.
All right.
Kimbaku, Kansas City. Kimbaku, Oklahoma City. Kimbaku, Baton Rouge. And Private Nights. Kimbaku, which is Tulsa. And so each one has a special, they have their own specialties. And what I do is I take all of the group leaders and I teach them, and then they go out and they teach everybody else, and they kind of rotate from place to place. And so basically I teach the teachers and they teach the groups.
Awesome.
The people in the groups, yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, you really staked your claim here in the Midwest.
I'm trying.
What they call the Midwest, the center part of the United States.
I'm trying. Actually, in Iowa, there's a guy named Lookout who also went to Japan, and he's really awesome.
Really?
And then there's a guy in Denver who also went to Japan, too. But I think in the United States, I've had the most training so far.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Obviously, something's happened in Japan recently. Have you talked with your friends or your contacts over there?
Actually, I did. Last week, I spoke with Osada Steve via email. He said everything is fine.
Good.
And
right,
the funny thing is, he took a picture of his office, and he said, it took me an hour to find, you know, my computer so I can email to let everybody know that
damn.
I'm fine. Shit. But the thing is, his office was always so messy. When we saw the picture, we're like,
so it stays.
Looks like it always does.
I know.
Like, yeah, it's messed up now.
I know. We're like, I don't what? And so then I also emailed when the nuclear reactors exploded. And I said, okay, I'm bugging you again. And he said, no, I'm fine.
Good,
like,
good.
All right. So they're doing fine. And I talked to two other friends. Mm-hmm. One was actually in Korea at the time. And he said he's okay. And then I talked to another person, and she said she's doing fine. So
well, good, yeah.
Yeah. But this is in Tokyo.
Right.
So
right.
Fortunate.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see if we can define, since I'm throwing these phrases around,
mm-hmm.
what's the difference between, like, say, rope bondage
mm-hmm.
and Kimbaku and Shibari?
Okay, Kimbaku and Shibari. Kimbaku, well, Shibari means to tie. That's
okay.
A strict translation.
All right.
Kimbaku also means to tie.
Mm-hmm.
However, they also attach, you know, power exchange or being spiritual, being more emotional, and they have that.
Right.
So, as far as bondage is concerned, it can mean all of those things. However, it's not going to share the same type of techniques.
Right.
So, you'll probably see the use of various types of rope as opposed to natural fibers, particularly jute. You might see cotton and nylon and all of the other stuff. And, you know, that's just to keep it very simple.
Right, right.
That's what I would say.
I was going to ask how they feel over in Japan about training people from the United States and if you're kind of an outsider or if they feel like that it's something that they should pass on.
No, he probably fits right in, Dirk.
Right, right, right.
Well, you know.
Let's look at him.
Honestly, I've been very fortunate. As a matter of fact, I shot with one of the most famous photographers in Japan, and he treated me just like anybody else.
Do they have a kink community there they have here? Oh, wow, or is it just the more the rope, the art of that?
Actually, rope is considered kink or SM. So that's but there's a wide variety. Now you have to think about it because of the geography. For example, since hemp or jute rope is easily accessible. It's a natural commodity out there. Mm-hmm. It's grown out there. That it's readily available, whereas leather isn't as readily available, and so you don't see as many floggers. Floggers are there. But it's kind of more, you don't see the same quality as you do out there. And, you know, usually one of the things...
I never would have imagined that. That's interesting.
And the single tail whips as well. If you wanted to bring something that would be well valued, bring single tails and actually bring floggers to Japan. But yeah, but
them.
They exist. I mean, like humiliation enemas and all of that stuff.
Right.
Now there a lot of that stuff can.
If you're
be
into
done.
That,
like Dirk is.
A lot of that stuff can be found in S&M clubs.
Really?
Yeah.
So we need more of around here. S&M clubs.
Yeah,
damn.
No kidding.
The problem is you pay like $50 an hour to $100 an hour.
Wow.
What's really interesting, though, they
That's cheaper than paying me.
That's a good point.
Yeah, that's true.
You get a whole club with some music, too, damn it.
You do. You do get the whole music, and you also get some SM performances, too.
Yeah.
You know, the clubs are significantly smaller. They're going to average between 25 to 50 people as opposed to, like, a big nightclub.
And speaking of music, I liked your music selection today at the Dungeon.
Thank you.
I was very proud of that.
Let's talk about that a little bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've gotten together on a couple of occasions and done like an all-day, you know, bondage shootout.
Yeah.
You know, gotten several models
shootout,
together.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I call a shootout because, I mean, we do. Last time we got together, I think we were there for 10 hours. Today we're there for 9 hours.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot of work, to be honest with you,
because
it's one setup right after another.
Mm-hmm.
It's very strenuous on you.
Mm-hmm.
It's very
strenuous on you.
Yes, it is.
What about the models?
And the models are the ones who are going through these you know, really crazy, like, suspension things.
Mm-hmm.
And the fog machine. Right.
That's a good idea.
Occasionally fog.
Yeah,
that was
yeah,
your idea.
Good
I was kidding.
But you did. You came up with it. It was, like, awesome. It worked. Oh, my God. It was just
It was really cool because they lowered a model from the top floor. There's a hole in the floor down into the bottom floor. So if you can imagine you're on a wooden floor, the floor opens up, and you can lower someone down into the room down below. So
a trap door.
Yeah, it's like a fucking trap door. And the fog machine down below with all the lights off, the fucking fog coming up and everything. It was cool as hell.
Yeah.
It was pretty surreal.
It was surreal.
It was really, really cool.
Yeah.
And Dirk's like laying down there on the floor, like with the camera flashing upwards, you know, and everyone's like, ooh, ah. You know,
there's tears in my eyes, but it was because of the fog machine. I was
right.
Like, that was beautiful. Oh, my God. It was
proud,
awesome.
Well, what I wanted to ask you is... No, that's fine.
You just fall asleep on Dirk's bed.
Right, well, I did that earlier.
It's so comfortable.
How important is it to you to not just do the work, but to also have it cataloged, have it, you know, presented as as an image to other people?
Well, I mean, honestly, I mean, remember when we, back 4 or 5 years ago, when
sure.
we had stars in the eyes and everything like that?
Yeah.
It started to actually kind of come about then.
Yeah.
But, you know, you knew how to do that. I had no idea how to do that.
Right.
And, you know, there was nobody who wanted to do it with me at that point.
Right. Right.
But I think it started then. But the reason why I would like to do that now is because we don't see a lot of people from our areas doing that type of work of that type of quality.
Well, you're going to have to explain a little bit about exactly what you're talking about when you say have your work categorized. Mm. What exactly are we talking about?
Well, when you do this stuff, I mean, it's artwork, but it's transient. It's like the air. After you get done doing it,
it's
no one ever sees it besides the people who are there.
Unless you can take photos of it.
Yes.
Unless you take photos of it, it's like a performance that goes away forever.
It's like a sand painting.
Absolutely like a sand painting. And so, for me, bondage photography is, I was describing it to several people today, it's very much, you know, I approach it with an artist eye, like I do everything, but it's also very much like sports photography, where you're, you know, I don't have control over what's happening, like I was capturing a sporting event or something, it's going on and I have to capture it.
Right.
And it's oftentimes very quick. You put someone into a, you know, a suspension or something, they may not be able to stay there more than, you know, maybe a minute, maybe less. And so you have to capture that moment quickly.
Right. Yeah. They sometimes, some of the older bondage people or the more experienced bondage people call that a 60th of a second shot because you keep them up for so long.
Right.
And because of that, you do have a moment that's pretty, you have the time that's pretty fleeting, and to capture something like that. I mean, you can get all philosophical and all of that stuff.
Sure.
But, I mean, when you, it's kind of like capturing eternity, for lack of a better word.
Sure.
Where you have, like, that moment full, a moment full of greatness, or in what we would define greatness and what we do as far as kink is concerned. And what we value, and then getting an opportunity to capture that is pretty an amazing feeling. Doesn't happen all the time. And the thing is, I think that's especially, you know, because especially in Oklahoma, Kansas City, you know, where we didn't see a lot of that stuff. We had to actually look at people in California, New York, and Florida. And I think we're actually doing something.
I deal with that somewhat, too, is not having any hands-on. There's nobody to go to in my own profession. It's like, who do I learn from?
Right.
You know, you look at a book, or you watch a video, or you go there.
Yeah.
And there's nobody
next door. You go to one of the coasts.
Yeah. Nobody can knock on the door. But and speaking of being in the community, one thing I would like to say in this conversation is that I had the opportunity to have dinner with him earlier, and I'd like to say that I found him to be extremely open-minded, non-judgmental, totally accepting of me as a pro-dom, which I really enjoyed our conversation about that particular subject, and I found you to be very encouraging and seemed to have your head on about a lot of different things, and I appreciate your insight and your outlook on things. So
the one thing that we do share is we had to go outside of our areas to learn what we needed to learn. The one thing I did want to share with you is that the one of the ladies who inspired me was a pro dom, is Mistress Meir, who actually pinned me, which is an old leather tradition because she is part of the leather community. And to be pinned by someone like her, because she had her pin, because she looks like Diana Ross, and so she had these pins with all of the, you know, the hair that's here and everything like that. So she got on her knees, and somebody of, you know, that repute to do that was just really amazing.
Wow.
Yeah. And so she gave me one of her last pins, and which was, like,
that's
probably
really cool.
One of the highest points of my life.
Well, then you have some good, you know, something to fall back on or some to reference to as far as pro-doms go. And I do really appreciate that because I'm not always well-received in the community. For the most part, yes, but some people have, don't really know what's up with that. But anyway, I think you're very smart, and I appreciate talking with you about everything we talked about at dinner. And
it was totally cool.
thank you for that. And so, anyway.
Well, I think you've nailed the reason why I continue to want to work with him is because he's a man of great character and also a lot of fun to hang out with.
Yeah.
To be honest with you. And he's into pro wrestling, which is really cool.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Damn. Yeah, ever since I was like 5.
I'll have to try to take him down later on.
No, man.
You guys going to do some casual wrestling?
No, I saw your arms. I ain't messing with you.
What? Oh, my God. I want to do some of that fire boxing. I was doing some fire wrestling.
Fire wrestling. Wow.
I just made it up just right now.
Well, fire wrestling. Ooh. Finish.
You heard it here first. If someone wants to either join one of your groups or maybe find out more about you, where would they go?
You can get in contact with me in two places. Who's not on FetLife nowadays?
Right, yeah. I mean, we talk about it constantly.
Yeah, as Okinawa, and I say not Okinawa, like the country south or the area south of Japan. Oki, like as in Oklahoma, I'm an Oki. Nawa, which is, you know, some might know Washi, is somebody who is a rope artist.
Right.
And so it's Okinawa, and that's on FetLife.
Right.
Or if you want to reach me, you can just look for Blood and Ropes at Yahoo.
And we'll have your contact on the Defense.
Yeah, we'll
show
definitely
as well.
We'll definitely post that. And in your groups, please mention those again too.
Okay.
Can you find those through FetLife?
You can find them through FetLife. Kenbaku KCMO.
Okay.
That one's run by Master Damien. Kenbaku OKC, which is run by Master Chewy. Kenbaku BR, which is Baton Rouge, which is run by Bear. And there is Private Knights Kenbaku, which is run by Mistress Eve and Pet Rain.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Very cool.
We
know them,
Lashigan,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah, met Damien today.
It's like another damn language or something.
It is.
Yeah, it is.
You rattled those off pretty good, actually.
Yeah,
you
did.
That's not easy to do.
No, I really like working with you because of your vision and what you see. And I really like what you bring to the table creatively. And not only that, you like comics.
That's right. Yes,
okay,
I do. I'm a big geek.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that. I appreciate that.
So we got to go sing some karaoke.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
We're going to get off the bed then.
Yes.
So in any case, David M., thank you for being on The Fetish
Show. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And it was so good to meet you. And it was awesome.
Thank you.
Thanks for friending me.
I know.
Thanks for friending me on FetLife.
We've had a long day.
Here, let me give you some head.
Yay.
Give me some tune there.
Oh, good.
Yay.
I like that.
I got some head from Princess Zoe.
I'm just like rubbing their heads. Not their peanuts.
Wow. Their peanuts.
Yes, we don't
not
want to. Yes. We want to keep it PG-13.
No, we don't.
Oh, we don't?
Fuck
no,
that
no,
shit.
No.
We're all naked up in here on this bed right now.
Yes.
Come on. Okay.
Okay.
Anyway.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
Hi, this is Buck Angel, and Princess Zoe says you better listen to The Fetish Show.
That was our interview with Shibari Master. I'm going to call him Shibari Master.
I'm just going to call him.
Oh my God,
he's so cool.
He didn't claim it, but I'm going to call him Shibari Master or maybe Kenbaku Master.
Yeah, he's so fucking
David
cool.
M.
I love him.
Yeah.
I'm so in love with him. He's so cool.
Yeah. I mean, I've known him for a while, and the more I get to know him, the more I like him. And he's a man of great character, and he's exceptionally good at what he does. And I really like his, I like the way that he approached the. We're a good match because we both are really trying to present this in an artistic way.
Did he kicked off his shoes, crawled up on the bed with us.
He did.
He just like crawled up there and said, let's do the interview right fucking here.
Yeah, no problem.
It was totally cool. We were like kind of snoozing there on your big fat pillows and it was all right. He's a fucking all right guy.
Well, we had all been very busy that day.
We were all tired.
Yeah, it was kind of nice to just kind of
we were all three on your bed and we're like, okay.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then we just had like great sex afterwards, so it was good.
Interesting.
Oh, I forgot we were asleep for that.
It was a great bed, actually.
It was.
That was at that bed and breakfast there.
Yes, it was. Great. We had the whole top floor in the attic there. It was good.
Absolutely.
It was our floor.
It was our floor. I liked that.
What?
I liked kind of being up there. Was anyone else in that bed and breakfast while we
were
there?
Dude, there was some hot chick that Warren was communicating with there for a while.
Of course he was. He was talking to all the models.
Yeah, I know. He's trying to hook up with somebody. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
Hot chicks. Warren's
so there was a hot chick there at the bed and breakfast?
You didn't know it, but
why didn't I see her?
You weren't down for breakfast that morning.
That's right, because I had to get some sleep before I worked for 9
I had to leave him at the
hours.
Table. I'm like, Warren, I got to go. He's like, oh, no problem. Go ahead. I'm going to stay around and have coffee
with
her.
Oh, my God. Well, I'm sorry that I missed that. I didn't even know that there was a hot chick there.
One other hot chick.
I didn't know there was anyone there.
Anyway.
No kidding. All right. Well, that's going to wrap up another episode of The Fetish Show. I want to plug a few things for us. If you are interested in The Fetish Show, maybe you're listening to it on iTunes, go check out our website. We've got some pictures and stuff on there. That's going to be at thefetishshow.com. Also, if you're interested in seeing more about Princess Zoe, then please visit theprincesszoe.com.
If you're interested in being a supporter, please get in touch with us. We are looking for supporters to support The Fetish Show financially, monetarily.
We're going to be mentioning that the next time around, absolutely. If you're interested in seeing some of my photography, like maybe some of the stuff that I took in Kansas City this last
Hot
weekend.
Naked chicks, yes.
Then you can check out DirkHooper.com. And I would suggest checking out the blog that I have, which is DirkHooper.com/blog, so that you can keep track of what's going on.
Yes, do that.
All right. Also, two more things.
Yes.
Please get in touch with us. You can contact us directly, info@thefetishshow.com, for potential guests, invites to events, products, books, videos, websites, and questions for Zoe or me, or suggestions for the show. And finally, we have a toll-free hotline.
Yes, we do.
That you can call and leave us a message at. It's 1-888-506-0221. Thanks for listening to The Fetish Show. For Princess Zoe, this is Dirk Hooper. Until next time, dream hard.
Thanks for listening to The Fetish Show. We're always looking for interviews with models, artists, and BDSM lifestyle leaders, as well as information about events and products. For more information, check out thefetishshow.com. Contact Dirk Hooper directly by emailing Dirk@thefetishshow.com.